Calling all thrill seekers and party monsters. Get ready for a night of wicked fun at the Hell of a Halloween Party. Join us on October 19th, 2023 at the Triple Nickel Pub, Portland's creepiest haunt, for a spine-tingling extravaganza you won't want to miss. This one-of-a-kind drag show is strictly 21+, so prepare to unleash your inner demons and let the spirits guide you. Hosted by the enchanting Coco Gem Holiday and the bewitching Autumn Rains, this night promises to be a cauldron of mesmerizing performances and hair-raising entertainment. Prepare to be spellbound by the captivating Astrid Aurelia, a finalist from the Boulay Brothers' Dragula Titan, as she bewitches the stage with her dark magic. But wait, there's more. Our monstrous cast features the devilishly talented Karaoke, the electrifying Wolfgang X, the magnetic Crucifix Magnetic, the haunting Duchess Dusted, the enchanting Cherry Blossom, the smoldering Destiny Smokes, the mysterious Umbra, and even Sue from Corporate will be joining the frightful fun. And let's not forget, it's Wolfgang's birthday show. Help us celebrate the otherworldly occasion and style as we raise our glasses to the nightmarish festivities. Don't miss your chance to compete in our spine-chilling costume contest. Dress to impress in your most macabre attire and stand a chance to win fiendishly fabulous prizes. Our expert judge panel will be holding their breath waiting to crown the most horrifying fabulous creature of the night. To keep your bones rattling and your spirits soaring, we have the incredible DJ Clear Cup spinning spine-chilling beats that will make you dance until the witching hour. So grab your broomsticks and get ready to move like the undead. Doors open at 9 o'clock p.m., so arrive early and claim your spot before the ghosts do. Triple Nickel Pub, located at 3646 Southeast Belmont Street, will be your haunted sanctuary for this unforgettable night. Pre-sale tickets are going at fast at $25, available now at www.thecdsdrag.com/hell. That's www.thecdsdrag.com/hell, H-E-L-L. But don't fret if you miss out. Tickets will also be available at the door. So mark your calendars, summon your friends, and prepare for a hell of a Halloween party that will leave you screaming for more. Get ready to embrace the spooky season like never before. We can't wait to see you there. Welcome to another episode of A Gem of a Secret podcast. My name is Coco Gem Holiday. Tonight, I am dressed up in my spooky ooky outfit because I am getting ready for a hell of a Halloween party. I know you've been listening to that as my commercial on this podcast, but now today slash tonight is the night that we are bringing out Astrid Aurelia to participate and perform here in our city. And the one thing that I want to talk about too is it is so true about these pre-sale tickets, y'all. Like, it super helps us understand who is coming to our shows and who wants to participate with us. And so thank you to every single person in this community that has bought pre-sale tickets and is going to turn this night into an amazing event. One of the things that I find to be most fascinating about this experience so far is I'm always so nervous and racked up with so much anxiety before the event because, you know, the reality is these events are expensive. Like, they cost a lot of money to do, and it's one of those things of where you just have to hope for the best and, you know, do as much as you can to make sure that people are coming into your spaces and watching you perform and doing all the things. And so I really want to thank the Portland community a lot for that. I had recently, you know, there's been so many kind of negative things that have happened to a couple of different friends of mine when it comes to like the safety of Portland. But I was actually I went on a deep dive into my life in Grand Junction, Colorado. And I have to say that I am blown away by how, even after being on that deep dive of looking at old pictures of myself from Grand Junction, that I absolutely don't miss it in a lot of different ways. I miss the people, sure, but just not my life there in that way that it happened and all the trauma that I went through and all the things that I've healed from. Like, yeah, like there were gunshots a few days ago
outside of a venue, but it wasn't, it still doesn't even compare to some of the emotional scars that happened when I was in that city. So I just want to say that I really do appreciate where I am. I love this community so much, and I hope to continue building and creating and curating art with all of you. I know that not every single time that I'm in the best of spirits, I speak highly of Portland, and it's just because, you know, I get sick and tired of the drama. But when the drama's not there and we're really just living our best lives and doing what we want to do, it becomes a really amazing experience just across the board. So with that, let me ask, how are you doing, listeners? Let me know in the comments. Tune in, fabulous listeners. We've got a sizzling announcement for all you drag aficionados and karaoke connoisseurs. Join us every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. for an unforgettable night of glamour and entertainment at Misfits Bar and Lounge, located at 2530 Northeast 82nd Avenue in Portland. Hosted by the mesmerizing Autumn Rains and captivating Coco Gem Holiday, this drag queen karaoke show will have you singing, dancing, and living your best life. Let loose and showcase your vocal prowess alongside these extraordinary queens as they create an atmosphere bursting with energy, laughter, and pure fabulousness. Mark your calendars and gather your squad for a Wednesday night that promises to be nothing short of spectacular. Whether you're a seasoned performer or a first-time diva, Misfits Bar and Lounge is a place to be for an unforgettable evening of entertainment, empowerment, and endless fun. Don't miss out on the fabulous extravaganza. Join us this Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. and let your inner star shine at Misfits Bar and Lounge, Portland's newest queer plus space.
It's a podcast.
Check it out.
Tune into What They Tell You podcast.
Check it out.
And we are back, listeners, and it is my great pleasure to introduce Sophie from Misfits Bar and Lounge. Give it up for Sophie. Say hi to the kids, Sophie.
Hello.
Hi. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great.
So I wanted to know, what are you wearing tonight?
I'm wearing some overalls with a red t-shirt underneath and some red Vans. Because I've been working hard.
I love that. So the question I asked you to prepare for is, so obviously your name is Sophie, but how long have you been in nightlife?
I've been in nightlife for about 10 years, maybe 11, close to 11.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So what was your first nightlife job?
My first nightlife job was bartending at a bar called Lucky's. It no longer exists, but it was, I worked at a gas station for a long time and I begged the people that owned it. I was like, please hire me when I'm 21. I'm a hard worker. And they hired me and it was a lot of fun. I learned a lot.
Why did you want to go into nightlife just in general?
I really enjoyed customer service and I enjoyed like trying to make people's day better because I could see that on people's faces when if you just gave them a smile, they would be happy and it just felt good, you know?
Yeah, no, I super appreciate that. So, because the reality situation is, like, nightlife is such a beast in itself. Like, the things that we do and, like, what we're a part of is just so different than what people think it is. And so, since you have been... Actually, let's go into this. Why did you decide that you wanted to be a co-owner of a Queer Plus space on 82nd?
Yeah. So I've been a part of the industry, obviously, for almost 11 years, and I always just felt so bored. And, you know, I hit 30, and I was like, what's my purpose in life? I don't know. I need something to give me a drive, something that challenges me. And, you know, I love what I do, and, you know, my dad was a huge supporter of me, and he was like, you can do anything you put your mind to. So I said, all right, you know, I'm going to might as well go for it, you know. I'm not gonna get younger, so I might as well do it, you know. And I love what I do, and I was like, man, if I love what I do, I might as well just like try to do it all.
Yeah, I think yeah. That's really beautiful. I really do. I think that when it comes to nightlife just in general, we tend to we bring a lot of ourselves into it that we don't even realize that we're doing. So like, I think that that's really wonderful. So what has it been like being, because have you been a bar owner before?
No, I have not.
Okay, so what has it been like being a bar owner?
It's been a lot of struggle, but it's been very rewarding. Very, very rewarding. To have a space that is safe for people to come to And like just hear people like tell me that, it's just like, I don't need babies. Tell me right now, like, I don't need no kids. This is good enough for me.
Oh, that's great. That's fantastic. This is good enough for me. Uh-huh. I'm fine. You've been a part of, so you had your, as a queer plus space, you had your first pride that you went through. Tell me what that experience was like. Somebody's like, I don't know. I was there maybe a little bit.
It was great, but at the same time, like, it was a struggle. It was hard. It was hard to understand, like, really what's going on. But I had a lot of fun. I mean, I got to hang out with Autumn, you know?
Well, I think that anybody who hangs out with Autumn probably has a drinking problem, but listen.
Only part-time.
No, I get it. No, and I hear that, because even, so Pride is always just a hectic time, and this was, mm-hmm. This funny thing is, you all got the disservice and the pleasure at the same time, because for the listeners out there, Portland Pride moved to July, but Pride Month across the country is in June, and so it was a lot of Pride, just for all of Portland in general, it was a lot of Pride. And so for any queer plus spaces, they had to navigate that just in general. And so I think that, in my personal opinion, I think you guys did a really great job with that. I think that you made people feel welcomed and safe in the space, which is great. Tell us about the name. So Misfits Bar and Lounge, where did that come from and how has that evolved?
So my mother actually told David one day that we were just a bunch of misfits, and he kind of just came up with that name by referencing what my mom had said to him, and I came up with a name too, and it was not as good, and we had a vote on it with a few other people, and I did not win the vote, and I was okay with that because I think the name is very fitting for Portland and what it is, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I like the concept of the land of misfit toys. That's like kind of where I sit with it. Like, I love that concept of the land of misfit toys, because a lot of queer people, I know that the world is becoming more accepting and people aren't getting kicked out as much, but the land of misfit toys was a really thing that we used for a lot of years, because, like, you know, we were getting kicked out of our homes and, you know, like, we had to find our own community. And so we were always considered misfits, in that way. And so I think that's really beautiful that you went with that, naming scheme. So from what I remember, you actually came up with the font of the name, right? Is that right? You told me that?
I sure did, yeah.
I like it. It's cool. Yeah. I'm gonna for my listeners out there, I'm gonna post the logo on the website, obviously, because like that makes sense, so you know what we're talking about.
Coolest ever.
It's so cool. It's cool. And I super love the space. So when it came to, let's talk about this, because I think this is going to be great for our listeners. So the bar, and we're not going to necessarily say the name, what the bar was previously, but you had to break out of some of the stereotypes that existed with the space that you bought. So tell us about the journey of like trying to revamp what the space was.
Sure. There was like a lot of cool people that, you know, were there before. Sure. Yeah. You know, and then the changes started occurring and some people stopped showing up, and, you know, that's okay. Like if they didn't want to be there, that's their choice. We have no control over that. And, you know, it was definitely a struggle. There was some online stuff and some random stuff that has happened that's just, you know, aggressive. But, you know, at the same time, we got tough skin and we understand that we're coming into an area that before we're doing a whole 180 on the clientele, 100%. And it's been cool to watch the whole clientele change, like the things that people drink change, the, you know, atmosphere changed. It felt more comfortable. It felt more inviting. But yeah, I mean, it's been great. There's been ups and downs, but I mean, you know, what do they say? Any publicity is good publicity. So, you know, I'll take it where I can get it.
Yeah. Any notoriety is good notoriety.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's true. And I think that, so I went to the space, this is a funny story. Actually, I don't think I've ever shared this on the podcast before, so I think this is a good time to do this. Mm. I So I had approached the space before Sophie was one of the co-owners of the space. And I said, hey, I'd like to do a drag show here because I didn't realize how close Misfits was to my house. And I had done a stand-up comedy show there. And I had wrote the owners at the time and I said, hey, I'd love to do drag there. And they wrote me back an email that was pretty stern. And they basically said, oh, no, we're not going to do stuff like that here. Like, we're not going to do that. And da 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 da. So how I got into the space was... Shaniqua Volt, who is talked about a lot on this podcast in a positive way, she had said, hey, there's this new bar that's opening that I think that you would be good for and whatever. And so I remember like Googling the address and like driving to the venue for my first meeting. And I was like, oh, it's that space that told me like, you know, I wouldn't like, you know, we're not going to do drag here and whatever. And I remember the first thing I asked, I was like, but I wrote this bar. And they said... I think it was David, and was like, oh, no, like, which it's changed ownership. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Then, like, let's party. Let's go ahead. And I think that that was such a full circle moment for me just as a patron, because I live in the Montevilla Gateway area, which is where Misfits is located. And you and me and Autumn Rains were always trying to, like, find spaces that are closer to where we live, because as much as downtown is beautiful and it's great and it has its culture, sometimes you want to pull drag away from that space to like give people who don't want to drive downtown the opportunity to like come party, drink, have a good time, and like spend their dollars closer to their home. And it's also a little bit safer too when you're like thinking about, if I have to drive across the bridge and drive for 30 minutes and whatever, like that can be a little bit more dangerous. But when you're like 5 minutes or 10 minutes from home, like, you can feel more safe and more comfortable in your space and how that operates. And I think that that was a really beautiful thing that you all did. Yeah. And so that's kind of, like, my backstory. And I think I've told you that story before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, like, me and Sophie talk. Like, we're, like, friends. Whatever. We're, like, we're friends or whatever. So the other thing that I want to get into is, so what is the goal of... Actually, this is a really good question. And I know it might seem really simplistic, but, like, our listeners are, like, from all over the country and a lot of people in Portland. And some people have never been to Misfits. So what is the goal of Misfits? Like, what is the mission? Like, what are you trying to accomplish with your community?
So within my community, I would like to accomplish, you know, just creating a safe space and, like, making sure everybody around knows that this is a safe space. You know what I mean? And... on top of that, you know, we're just so far out from where everything else is. And it's just, you know, I feel like we're living where more people, like, in Portland would live, you know. More people that can afford to live in Portland live, you know. I mean, I grew up here and I've seen the increase in pricing and, in like, everything, you know. But, yeah, I mean, I just want to create a safe space. We want to create a space that, you know, people can come to and create new things for themselves, you know, inspire, create, you know, whatever they want to create, they can create here, you know, and just wants to be comfortable, you can walk in wearing whatever you want to wear. Nobody's going to look at you like you're crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, actually, I fully know what that is. Cause like as a drag artist, I have always felt very safe in, Misfits, one of my friends who's a barrette there, who I super adore in a lot of different ways. And I won't say his name because he'd probably feel embarrassed about it, but, like, you know who I'm talking about. And he just, and every time, I'll even ask him opinions about, like, the stuff that I'm doing, and, like, he'll be at karaoke all the time and being, like, who's just a barrette, rarely ever sings, and, like, he just has a good time. And I ask him about the space, and he's like, I just feel comfortable here. He always says that. I'm like, I just feel comfortable here. And the thing is, I do as well. And I know that when we talk about, like, home bars, and especially in the drag community, we'll talk about home bars and whatever. And for the longest time, I saw Misfits as a, because, like, me and Autumn were at a different bar that's even closer to our house for a long time that we had considered a home bar. But what was beautiful about what happened with Misfits is that the home bar we were at wasn't a queer bar. We were just there all the time, like a neighborhood bar. We were in a neighborhood bar. And what Misfits did, which was beautiful, which was, it was a neighborhood bar, and it was also insanely accepting of queer people. Yeah. And that is really great. And it's across the street from a high school, which for some reason, that makes me feel really, like, I feel like even the queer high school kids, and I know the world's changing, like, also are feeling like, oh, seeing that, like, sign is really great because, like, you know, as I age and I get older, like, even near my high school, there was a place that would have accepted me for being me. Because not every parent in the world is woke and progressive, even though we're in Portland. Sometimes they, you know, they still kick out their kids. They still treat them differently for being queer. And that's really cool that, like, there's a space that they can see right across the street from when they're playing sports or whatever, or going to a game, seeing, like, you know, the rainbow colors of the Misfits logo that you all can see on the website. And I think that that's really cool. Mm-hmm. So the other question I have for you is, so have you, so actually let's get to know you just a little bit more, Sophie, in this, because I want, because when people think about patroning a bar in Portland, which is weird because it's nowhere else in the world this is this way, they're like, well, I really need to know the owners because, like, I need to know if I want to spend my money there. So, cause you're not queer, actually, from what I understand. I like, listeners, like, Sophie, like, sunk down. She was like, oh my God. She's like, outing my secret. No, and the funny thing is, and here's a story before we get into this. I actually brought Sophie to a lesbian bar because I super needed drinks to be bought for me. And it worked, and I brought Sophie, and everybody wanted to buy us drinks and talk to us, and that was really fun. No, I wasn't gay baiting. I just brought Sophie, and we're having a good time. It's not my fault that y'all didn't realize. Sophie loves karaoke.
I do.
So being a straight person in this sphere, and obviously an ally, where do you feel like your role fits in? Like, where do you feel like how you operate and how you conduct yourself in the space, like, matters, and what does that mean for you?
Well, I mean, creating a safe space is me, like, getting to know these people. Like, I don't care who you are, what you identify as. Like, I don't care. I just want to know your story because I love what I do, because I love hearing the stories of people's lives, because that is where I get my enjoyment in life. You know, like, where did you grow up? What is your life like? That is really interesting because there is interest in every person's life, no matter who it is. You know what I mean? And I just, you know, I want to be supportive. And if people don't think I'm supportive, I'm just going to keep doing it, because eventually they'll understand that I am here to support everybody who is queer, everybody who is anybody that wants to support everybody altogether. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. That's just how I feel.
No, and I think that there's a lot of validity to that. And let me say it this way. I really know what it's like to be an ally and then also make room for people to make themselves feel comfortable in safe spaces. And I'm going to say it from a gender perspective. I served on a lot of different nonprofit organizations that, you know, were feminist organizations, and we did things. And I would recognize where my place was as a cis male presenting person, to where I would have to, you know, listen and understand what was going on there. And even though I didn't, it's not my journey, it's not my, I'm not part of this marginalized communities, I also recognize that I wanted to create the safe space that you're talking about, to where people can feel comfortable sharing those ideas and, like, wanting to grow and thrive in the space and with whatever event we were doing. And I think that that's beautiful in the way that you said it, because it is still technically a bar, right? And, like, sure. All bartenders are therapists and, you know, have to listen to issues. Like, tonight, actually, at the time of recording this, like, Sophie was bartending. I went to the bar, and I was, like, putting things on the table and whatever. And then Sophie was like, how you doing? You know, like, do you want a drink? Do you know, like, da-da-da-da-da. And, like, I know that Sophie will listen to me and, like, look at me in the face and, like, recognize about my issues. Because a lot of people, like, you know, it's not just specifically about getting the money. It's also about creating connections in your community. And I think that Sophie does a really, really good job about making everybody feel wanted. And we all know this, too, for some of my sober listeners who are not in nightlife. Like, a lot of bartenders don't really offer a lot of their personal lives to their patrons, because bartenders are supposed to be just really kind, welcoming people. You don't really know if they're dating. You don't know their sexual orientation. Like, da-da-da-da-da. Like, they're just supposed to be there to, you know, serve their community and, like, help you out and, like, give you the drink and, like, be nice to you and be kind, and because it's a customer service industry and a service industry. And what's really beautiful about what Sophie does is she makes everybody feel a little bit like family. Yeah. Which I think is really cool. And I don't know if you knew that, like, but being around you has made me feel so safe and warm in the space. And that's not a negative to your co-partner in any capacity, because this is about you specifically. And I always felt like you made me feel very warm in the space. Just recently, and I'm going to give you this story too for my listeners as well. When we were setting up, because as you heard in my podcast, you know, I was advertising the Land Insider show on the, I think it was October 1st, Sophie and I were decorating the bar at the same time. And like, we were talking about ideas and like how to make this flow and like all these things. And, you know, and Sophie was really on board with my vision and I was on board with her vision about, you know, getting drinks out there as quickly as possible, how we're going to do meet and greets, like where people are going to park, where people are going to get dressed and the heating element and how cold it was in the building and like the gambling and like all these things. Like, and we were just constantly going back and forth, like every 5 minutes, one of us is going to the other one being like, oh, I just thought about this and da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, just so we could make this safe space for our community. Yeah. And then also making an entertaining and enjoyment and joyful experience for our community as well. Yeah. And so I really appreciate the fact that you let me fly with that, but I also appreciate that we got to kind of do it together.
Yeah, it was a lot
of fun. But I was like, Sophie, I'm going to show up at like 5. And then I showed up at like 4.
I know.
I was like, Sophie, I'm going to be here at 4. And Sophie's like, I'm not going to be there at 4, yeah, but I'll be there at like 4 or 5.
Yeah, pretty much. I had to go get some more liquor.
So Sophie, I think this is a funny story to share, but can you tell all my listeners about how you fed me water in a tequila bottle?
Oh my God, I don't want to do this. So I trained a bartender and somehow, I don't know how, but the bottle of tequila that had water in it that I was training the bartender how to pour shots on ended up in our well. And somebody had made comment, one of the bartenders had made comment about how like there was 2 tequila bottles in the well and they were unsure about what was going on, but they were going to use both of them. And they used the real tequila bottle first and then they used the other one. And I think Coco was the first shot that got water. I don't know if that means something, but
it does a little bit. It does a little bit. No, because I was okay. So I have to say it this way. I am. This makes me sound like a Karen. It really does. I was like, wait a second. This doesn't taste right. And then like I got uppity in a way that's just so problematic. And I was like, what is happening here? I was like, I don't know what's going on. And so that's kind of what happened.
Yeah, but we made it fine. And has it taste like water since, Coco?
No, it hasn't.
Okay,
it hasn't.
Thank you very much.
And also, I appreciate that Sophie actually works diligently with her bartenders to make sure that the pours are right for people who haven't been in the business for a long time. I never knew that. And actually, that makes obviously perfect sense to like obviously have empty liquor bottles to be like, hey, let's figure out how to pour the correct portions and da 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 da. Because like in Utah, like they have that little clicker thing that like I just... that noise drives me crazy with the clicker bottles that are on top of the liquor bottles in like Utah.
They have like a little metal ball in them or something.
Well, it's something that like it's like this little device that goes over the liquor, and so when you pour it, it clicks to let you know the perfect pour
to stop pouring for you.
Yeah, and it just it's really alarming, especially as a person who's an active alcoholic. Actually, I'm not, but kind of really a little bit. So stuff like that. So that's interesting. So what's it like? So your co-partner is a queer person, and that's not a secret. So what's it like having a co-partner just in general? Because don't you all have to like make decisions together and stuff like that? Because a lot of bar owners, it's just them as a single person doing the stuff. So what's that been like? Like the positives and some negatives if you feel like sharing?
Yeah, it's been good. We both have our different perspective jobs. David has a lot more experience in business and I have a lot more experience in bar industry / business. I mean, bar industry is business in a different way than, you know, the online aspect, marketing, all that stuff. So he does that perspective while I work on the bar, I work on the kitchen, I make sure that things are up to par and things are going well on my end, and he does the same. And, you know, sometimes our jobs, you know, come across each other and we kind of communicate. We both appreciate the space that we're creating. We really do. I'm going to go on a tangent here. So when I turn 30, you know, it's like, what do I want to do? And I want to create a safe space, right? So I know when I went out as like, you know, okay, I'm a cis female, that's fine. But when I would go out, sometimes I would go to clubs and some guys would be grinding on my butt. You know what I mean? And it's just like, I didn't appreciate that, you know, but my favorite place to go was CC's because I never really had to worry about that. It was more or less like, I had this one man and he was a very attractive man and he was definitely queer and I loved it. And he pulled me out on the floor and made me dance with him. And it was a magical night for me. And, you know, it was really good. And it just made me feel like, you know, queer people understand themselves more than straight people, because queer people are coming out in this sense, like, this is who I am. You know, straight people don't have to do that. You know what I mean? So they are more truer to themselves than I am, you know? And I appreciate that so much. And I just want to really be a part of that and like see these people grow and like see them blossom into who they are, or just even who they are, if they are now, like, you know, accepting of that and like trust themselves. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
It actually makes really great sense. And yeah. I love that perspective in a lot of different ways. I know that because we're all on a different journey. I get that.
Yeah.
And what we experience in life is going to be different no matter what your labels and how you identify. We are going to have different experiences. And it is true about, you know, wanting to feel safe and comfortable. And mm-hmm. The thing is, at the end of the day, like, it is still a bar. I want to drink. Yeah. I want to dance. Mm-hmm. I want to laugh. I want to make friends, and I want to get home safely. Mm-hmm. Or I want to make out in the bathroom, and like, yeah. I always joke about on the microphone. Like, and I make out in the bathroom, or I want to hold hands with my partner, or I want to smoke a cigarette outside, or I want to meet a new person outside who becomes one of my closest friends. And all of these things matter in nightlife in a really beautiful way. And because with queer folks, like, we're not always necessarily safe, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say necessarily where, but even like a couple of days ago from the time that I filmed this, because I haven't talked about it yet, I was leaving a bar, a queer bar, and there were gunshots in the area. There were five gunshots in the area after a drag show, and it was super scary and it was super alarming. And I got my car and I went home. And I say this about downtown a lot, in general, and I know that like every place is perfect, but I'm gonna say this one thing I say on the microphone when me and Autumn are hosting our shows, because we have the first Sunday of the month at Misfits, is we want to pull drag out of downtown not because we're trying to make downtown die. We also want to pull drag out of downtown because we know that there are some people who don't want to drive that far or figure out parking or get their car towed. In the last like year, I had my car towed for being like a centimeter over the line. I've had my car windows rolled all the way down and nothing stolen. I've had almost every single person in my friend group has had their car broken into, and stuff like that. I've had people have their catalytic converters stolen from their car from being at a bar. I've had people break in the window and stealing all their tips. And I've had all of these things happen that have seen all these things happen that have made me feel really uncomfortable. And even like tonight, like me and Sophie went out tonight, and I had moved the cash box that was in my car to my house. I moved my purse from my car to my house because mm-hmm. I were going to a bar I wasn't familiar with. And I was nervous. Like, I was mm-hmm. I was nervous. I didn't even know where the bar was. I was just told we were going to a bar. I didn't know where it was. So I pulled all this stuff out of my car because I don't want my car to get broken into, or, like, you know, something getting broken or something like that.
It's closer to downtown, too. And that, you know, it just... Mm-hmm.
And it raises, right? And it raises, mm-hmm. like, that anxiety. And I was even talking to my mom on the phone today about, like, how, like, gosh, all my friends are... One of my closest friends had their... had their makeup stolen out of Autumn's car. Actually, her car got broken into and had their makeup stolen. And I think that that's tragic and it's awful because drag makeup is incredibly expensive. So what I'm saying on the microphone, it's not to diminish downtown. I love Portland. I love Portland so much. It's just saying, like, hey, safety matters. Like, I was at a show downtown. There were five gunshots. And literally, I keep thinking to myself, when me and my husband were leaving the bar, he said, do you want to go say bye to that person? And I said, no, I'm really tired. My feet hurt. I just want to go home. Mm-hmm. So we walked to the car, and then we ran into another drag artist that was already over by the car. So we talked for, like, maybe 2 minutes. And then that's when the gunshots went off. And I keep thinking over and over and over in my head that if I had actually stopped to talk to that person that my husband said we should say bye to, we would have been, like, maybe in the line of fire, right? Sure. Yeah. When I lost my life or lost my husband's life for just saying goodbye after a drag show. And that is heartbreaking. And it's not to say downtown is dangerous. It's also just saying that, like, there are higher chances sometimes downtown, mm-hmm. and that's sad. And so that's why Misfits is really beautiful, because it's there haven't been a lot of those incidents in that area. And I think that people really take care of each other over there. Mm-hmm. A lot of the bar rats who are over there, even if they're crazy, are super nice yeah. and friendly. And everybody's so nice to Sophie,
yeah.
Outside of just hitting on Sophie aggressively. and I think that you've cultivated that space, because even with the reputation of the old bar, it wasn't that. It mm-hmm. wasn't safety. like, you guys have really cultivated safety, which is really great, even with your 5 parking spaces that you have.
It's 12. Thank you. Just letting you know for real.
It's 12 spaces. It's 12 spaces. And also, I think that one thing that you all have done well, because, like, a lot of people don't know no Misfits, right? So one thing that you've done well is, like, giving opportunities to people to, like, have birthday shows or celebrate, or, like, even today was, at the time of filming this, was the Monday night, like, a showcase show to, like, give entertainers, not just a drag, like, an opportunity to sing live and perform and, like, get to be in the space, and, like, that's really cool as well. So I think that you all are on the right track. So how have you handled online drama from changing it from the bar that it used to be to what it is now? Like, how has that experience been?
It's been all right, you know. We ignore things when we can, you know. There's some things that you shouldn't respond to, like messages that are just trying to get a rise out of you and trying to be aggressive, you know. We all are human, you know. So sometimes we mess up, you know, and sometimes you take shit too much to heart, and you know, that's just how life is, and occasionally people do that, you know? I'm a bar owner, but, you know, you gotta understand, like, everybody's dealing with a lot all the time, you know, no matter your situation, and sometimes you just have to be understanding in certain situations, you know? But, you know, we mostly ignore it, and sometimes we remove comments, depending on what they are, you know? If they're just gonna stir up more stuff, it's just, why even have it there? You know, and a lot of the accounts are troll accounts that are posting stuff like this that we see. But, you know, that's about it. I mean, we haven't really gotten much lack lately. Mostly our lack has been people driving by and screaming profanities at the bar. I left one time and I saw the person screaming profanities, and it was definitely 2 males in the car next to me. And I wanted so bad to scream at them, but, like, you know, do I want my window broken? I don't know, you know, and I don't know what they're going to do, you know? So, like, I can't afford that. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It's just, it's a bit ridiculous to my extent. I feel like Portland is definitely like a bubble in its own. Go outside of Portland, you know, 2-3 hours, you ain't going to experience the same type of people you're experiencing here. It's going to be a little different. Maybe a little more country, if you know what I'm putting down, but.
No, super, 100%. One of my favorite comedians said, they made a joke or whatever that was like a little bit more progressive, and like if people didn't laugh, or they said, oh, and she said, well, we know who drove more than 30 miles to get here.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Uh-huh.
So as we get to the, because we're at our half hour mark, as we get to the end of the podcast, what is one thing that you would wish upon? What was one thing that you would say to patrons who've never been to Misfits that would potentially entice them to come and experience it?
I think you should try it out, because as I am a local Portlander, born and raised, I've created the space that I think what Portland would be in a lot of different ways. And, you know, it's just a safe space. If you like karaoke, come on Wednesdays. If you want to hear live bands, come on the weekends. You know, we have drag shows every Sunday. And it's just really inviting. I wouldn't miss the opportunity to try it out one day, you know?
Well, and a lot of the stuff that you guys do there is free, which is really also kind of cool. It shows that you give caring and kindness to making it accessible for other members of the community. I also do see that the Misfits page, and I'm pretty sure it's probably run by David, but I see the Misfits page on the interwebs also commenting in the healthy ways online about, like, hey, like, you know, come out, check this out, and posting videos and pictures of what's happening on stage. And even I, as a person who doesn't love to really do things, like, I've been coming out to the Mondays. I think it's been a lot of fun. Yeah. It's not just because Autumn is there. Mm-hmm. I get to see people I enjoy. I'm a bar rat. I've always been a bar rat for probably for the last 15 years of my life. I've been a bar rat. I love going out, meeting people, seeing my bar rat friends, and, you know, and hanging out and just BSing with people. Like, Cheers, like the TV show Cheers, like, has a point. Like, it's nice to go to a place where everybody knows your name.
Yeah.
It is nice. It's fun to drink and feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I like to gamble, and I like to sit and watch. And
Give me all your drinks.
And they also, also Misfits has Diet Dr. Pepper because David is crazy and also likes Diet Dr. Pepper. And
he does.
I love Diet Dr. Pepper myself. And then also tonight they had Watermelon White Claw. And if you know me, I know it's a stereotype, but I love Watermelon White Claw. So like today was just the vibe for me. So my last question for you, Sophie, is if you were to ever, because I ask the same question of everybody, if this is the first episode you're listening to, I ask this to every guest. If you were to get into a bar fight in Portland and you needed three drag artists to help you win the fight, who would you choose and why?
All right. I would choose Barbie Valentine because I've known Barb since I was very young. You know, we go way back, way back. And, you know, Autumn, because Autumn's always got my back, you know, and I don't ever have to worry about Autumn. And, you know, I want to go with Rosie Cakes, because Rosie Cakes has some pretty long arms, and I feel like Long's arms can reach far distances. And I really love their performance on stage, so I feel like they're very sassy, and they could throw down if they had to.
Oh, that's a great choice. Barb would help you win the bar fight.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. I love how Barb will always be like, she's like, Coco, I will throw hands. And I'm just like, yes, I know. Barb,
and it's all elbows.
We've seen the mugshot. It is all elbows. So because you're a bartender, instead of your personal socials, tell us how to find Misfits online.
Okay, so on Facebook, it's Misfits Bar Plus Lounge. And on Instagram, I believe it's Misfits PDX. I know that sounds bad, but...
Oh, no. I mean, a lot of places are. Yeah. So what I will do is I will have pictures of the logo online. I'll also have a picture of Sophie online just so you can have an idea of who is talking on the podcast today. Mm-hmm. I want everybody to please consider... you know, patroning Misfits and seeing what's going on there. There's always a lot of fantastic and fun things happening there. Tuesday nights, they do their stand-up comedy night mm-hmm. with Hijinks, and because that's still there, right?
Yeah.
Hijinks. And I've done that several times. My mm-hmm. drag daughter, Dahlia Bell, often will frequent and
yes,
try new things
I love
there.
Dahlia.
Before she traveled around the country doing certain stand-ups, and she'll try it there, and that's mm-hmm. beautiful. And I get to hang out with her. And like Sophie said, they do have a lot of live stuff that happens on the weekends and drag shows every Sunday. Mm-hmm. And so please just frequent it. I mean, there's the worst thing that can happen is that you meet a new friend. And the best thing that can happen is that you meet a new friend who you go home with. So, you know,
yeah.
And all the bar rats there are super nice and super friendly yeah. and super kind. And since you'll see a picture of Sophie, when you go to the bar, be like, hey, I heard you on the podcast. And so, you know, just yeah. give her a hey.
It'll make me feel like somewhat famous, even though I'm not famous.
So but he's absolutely famous.
I just want to say Tuesday night, comedy starts at 9:30 p.m. Sign up. And then Wednesday night, obviously 8:30 p.m. for karaoke. And if you come on karaoke and you might mention this, I might sing a song if you ask me to. It depends on if it's in my range of musical talent, but I will serenade somebody if you ask me to. Depends on who it is, but you know.
Ooh, I love it. That's fantastic. So thank you everybody for listening. This has been a really special episode for me. Say bye to the kids, Sophie.
Goodbye, kids.
Goodbye, kids. Bye.
Hi, everybody. This has been another episode of A Gem of a Secret Podcast. The host of A Gem of a Secret Podcast is Coco Gem Holiday. Our music was provided by Touche Douche and Party Favors. You can follow them on Instagram at Touche Likes Beef and Party Favors Music. Please follow us online at www.agemofasecretpodcast.com. That is a J-E-M of a secret podcast.com or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Our episodes are released every Thursday. Bye-bye.